And welcome back to another Deadlands Tales from the Shattered Coast adventure. This is Session 50, Part 2, and our players are Sharon, Jameis, Chris, and Richard. Again, for this episode, I insert a request that you, our listeners, let us know that you're out there. Drop us an email, comment in our Google groups, or on our forums. Give us a review on iTunes, or a recommend at rpgpodcasts.com. Any of those things will be much appreciated. But for now, our adventure continues. All right, Young comes out.
Yep, I tag Eddie in to go into the room.
All right, I'll take the contract. I'll take the contract, the teacup, and walk into the room.
All right. He does the same thing to you, except for one difference. As you sit down, before he opens up the case, he stares he's staring right at you, and he opens the case very slowly. And I'm going to say, given your nature, this is not something you have to roll for. You actually make a spirit roll.
Did Young spot the gun?
That's true. Young might have. If you want to give me a notice test for Young.
Yeah,
you noticed it. A particularly heavy, large firearm was in his case, along with a lot of paperwork. Okay, so I'm sorry. If you wanted to do something or say something about that, Young, you're welcome to.
No, you're all good. I'm done.
Okay. all right, Eddie, how'd you do on your spirit roll? Three. Okay, Eddie, that part of the back of your neck kind of, you know, you can feel the hairs on your neck kind of stand on end. You're still wearing the shackles, right?
Yes.
You're feeling blind panic. You don't, you know, you're not sure why until he opens the case, and then you get a big, you know, you react to the smell of silver. Not just the fact that there's silver in there, but it's something that you know instinctively is lethal to you. And that wolf part of your biology is reacting very strongly to that. You can choose to chip that spirit roll if you want, or you can let it ride at a 3.
I'll chip it. I'll throw a white chip in.
Okay. It's a reroll. Go ahead and reroll it.
All right.
All that still happens, but you're able to clamp down on it a little. So you don't, you know, you don't, go into your fight or flight reaction. You're able to keep control of things, but you're definitely, you know that some things have suddenly turned potentially lethal in here for you.
Okay, I don't know. I don't see the gun.
Nope.
But I know there's silver in the room.
Not just silver, but silver.
Lethal
silver. That's for some reason, you know that it has a killing intent for you. You're not sure why. You just have that feeling.
All right. I'll come in. I'll put the contract down, the teacup down. I'll sit down and put both guns on the table facing him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Your manacle, do you have it up underneath like a shirt sleeve? I mean, it's still obvious you would have something there, but not necessarily obvious that it's a manacle.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do not have it in like plain view, right?
Well, one of them will be down by my wrist. The other one will be up higher.
Okay.
But the sleeve will cover most of it.
Sure. Okay. Well, he sits down, and, you know, he notes your reaction and everything, but he pulls out paperwork, squares it away, and basically starts asking you about your past. Like, where were you born, family, any living, siblings, you know, basically all the stuff he knew about everyone else, but he's getting from you, maybe for the first time, how honest are you being? Because remember, you're wanted in a few places. You're wanted for desertion, for instance. So, like, how honest are you being?
And probably, I don't know if he knows that he's not necessarily the only one.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
Now, this is employment. You know, the other people are working for this guy. They seem to be honest with him. So, I'll try not to hide anything.
Okay. Okay. So good enough. So you're answering honestly. So yeah, your question that he throws in the midst of the very general question is, do you enjoy the taste of human flesh?
No.
Okay. When was the last time you. When was the last time you killed?
Now, is he talking about me as Eddie or me as the werewolf?
It's entirely how you take it.
I'm taking it as the last time that Eddie killed something, and I'll tell him when.
Which is apropos, because you generally don't remember most things that happen when you're a wolf. Like, there's not a lot of memory that goes along with it when you come back.
Right.
All right. He nods, and he says, he points to the wrist that has the manacles on, and he says, not sure what you have there, but I take it that helps you control it?
Yes, it helps control it.
Can I see it?
I pull up my sleeve. But I'm not going to, like, put my arm close, so I'm just pulling up the sleeve so you can see it.
Right. And he says, Eddie, I want you to try very hard not to react to this. It may sting a little.
I'll put both hands on the table and brace myself for, you know, pain.
Okay. He pulls something out of the case. It's not the gun. It seems to be, it looks like a cigarette, if anything else. He lights the end of it, puffs it a little bit. It has a really acrid taste to it. And
I'm going to say, all right, stop. I'm going to take the teacup, take a drink, put it down, put my hands back and look at him.
Okay. He lays the cigarette down so that the air is kind of filled with the smell of what's burning in there. It smells like, you have a really heightened sense of smell. So it smells like sage. And something else, something kind of medicine-y, something like camphor maybe in it. And it kind of, the smell fills the room. And he starts to slowly, it's almost like he's chanting under his breath. You, through your occult studies, it's Latin. He is saying something in Latin. Okay. Your wrist glows for a moment. It is very uncomfortable. It's like someone has taken a very hot set of irons and pressed it against your arm. Go ahead and give me a spirit roll again. All right, no problem. You're able to endure it without flinching too much. It's painful, but not to the point of agony. He stops after a bit. He writes some things down on a paper that he has next to him. He says, well... that is a very interesting piece of antiquity you have there. You've been wearing it long?
Yes. I've been wearing it since I've joined up with this group.
Any bad dreams? Anything that you can remember in the mornings?
I tell him about the, when we went down to Santa Ana and how I touched the occult book. Or the diary and those dreams and any other werewolf dream that I could think of.
Ah, okay. So you tell him about the book and everything. He says, and so the next thing is, so then that dream was prophetic. That was a lot of what you dreamt was verified?
Yeah, it was verified.
Oh, I completely forgot about that. I think I touched it too, didn't I?
Well, which will be completely fine for, I kind of see Luke as being a little memory not so good.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. He says, well, what you have there is a pretty potent relic. I didn't know that it would work on someone that wasn't faithful, but apparently it has some measure of protection for you. I would continue to wear it. You shouldn't suffer any ill effects from it, at least mostly. I expect those visions will get more intense. With this, he pulls out the gun. It is a large hunk of metal. From your senses, you can tell that there's a lot of silver combined in it. He breaks the breech, and he pulls out a single bullet. And he tosses it to you. You try and catch it.
Yeah, I'll try and catch it.
Okay. It stings a little on your, you know, you can tell that it's composed of mostly silver, which even in your human form is not very, it doesn't hurt you per se, but it's something you don't like to be around if you can manage it, because that wolf mm-hmm. part of you just doesn't like it. And so you're just, you constantly feel that agitation when you're near it. He says, Eddie, that's for you. It may come a time when you may need to use it on yourself. You'll be the best judge of that. I think you've done a lot of things that may put you past being. Do you have faith, son?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, I've eaten a preacher or two in my time.
So I guess I do have faith that way.
No, it's how does Eddie answer that? And I mean, your answer could be you don't know. If the player doesn't know, that's fine.
I've never thought about it. Never thought about faith.
Is that how you answer him?
Yeah, okay. That's how I'll answer him.
It's like, well, that may be for the best. For those that believe in such a thing, it may be that what they call a soul in you is beyond redemption. But the man that's here may not be. Keep that bullet on you, Eddie. Someday you might find the need to use it.
I'll set it on the table so it's out of my hands and look at it. Mm-hmm. And just go, it's something I have thought about. I'll keep it.
Breaking the tension a bit, he tosses over basically it's an old leathered wallet. He says, this is your back pay. From as near as I can tell, he makes off a date from when they first mentioned that you were tagging along and helping things out. here's your back pay, Eddie. Welcome aboard. He sticks his hand out. Give me a notice roll.
Oh, where is my notice?
If he asked to be paid in AAA.
Okay, nice. Now give me an occult roll. Okay. So you notice that his right hand that he sticks out to shake, it's got a couple of rings on it. They're very simple rings, very plain. They seem to have some kind of symbology etched on them. They seem to be made of not like exceptionally precious stones. Like one of them looks like they might be onyx. The other looks like it might be jade, but it has some occlusions in it. So it's not a perfect gem. Something twinges there in the back of your head that there may be something of importance to it. You're welcome to chip that if you want. If you don't, you can ride with the three.
No, I want to chip it.
All right, go for it.
Come on.
Okay. What catches your eye as you shake his hand is that on each of the rings, there's one symbol in particular that sticks out that you've come across several times in your occult delvings. It's the Seal of Solomon. So your occult lore with a roll of 5, you know a little bit about the symbol. You can recognize it when you see it. Biblically and in some of the occult books that you've read, it has to do with the binding of demons or binding of things of evil.
Okay, so he puts his hand out. I put my hand out. We shake. I notice the rings. Mm-hmm. I'll turn his hand so I can see the rings a little bit more
mm-hmm.
and go, Solomon.
Yes, as you have no doubt witnessed in some of your journeys with my, well, now your fellow employees, there are things out there that mostly people have regarded as myth and legend. Well, there are things out there that myths and legends will tell you that were used to fight these things. Always good to come across them when you can.
I'll smile and say thank you. I will. I'll keep an eye out for him now.
Well, Mr. Guff, let's go have a drink.
Sure. I'll grab the bullet, put it in my pocket, and like I'm assuming I'm wearing like a vest, so I'll put it in the vest pocket, and I'll grab the teacup. Oh, I'll put my guns away, grab the teacup, and head out.
All right. So
does he not want to talk to Wimitai? Obviously, you know, it'll be 20 minutes later they come out or something, but
no, he doesn't.
Okay.
I mean, he will go and have a chat with her, but he doesn't take her aside. She is working for someone else entirely.
Yeah, but you said he wanted to know more about the Necessity Alliance and that, so he might have wanted to have a chat with her about it.
And he'll have a chat like that in the open. So, you know, after all these talks, you know, everyone's back in the kind of dining area of this floor. And he says, well, I do have some news for you. How much of the what you're planning to do to trigger with Lost Angels have you actually been sending across on the wires?
That's a good question.
Yeah. You've mentioned the glyphs, but I don't know for sure if you guys have ever mentioned that you need to do this to trigger something.
I don't think we have. I think it was just more of the just information about the glyphs.
Yeah, see, I didn't think you did either, because you know that sometimes things go wrong on the wires and it's not particularly hard to tap into one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have. I could be, listeners, write in and prove we're wrong, but so, oh yeah, this one you said, you're definitely writing about that. Yeah.
Well, what he does tell you is that with this new understanding they have with the agency, we have a lot more manpower at our disposal. Now, what you all are doing for us is, it's work that a lot of these men wouldn't be able to do. They just don't have the stomach for it. We do have access to a lot more of them now. So what I'm telling you is that there's some manpower that can be requisitioned if needed. We've got several in the area, within a rails line or one day, depending on where you are, maybe up to 2 days worth of travel. So if you can get me a wire and you need some bodies, that could be arranged. I don't know completely what you're all working on right now. I have some idea. I've gotten some research done on these glyphs that you've mentioned.
Hmm. Does the date I name the data that we're going to, that the date that we're aiming for mean anything to you? I can't actually remember the date at some time.
You're talking about the date of the when Grimes and all of his
the date that we're aiming for to actually set this thing off.
He consults some notes on it. He says, well, I understand there's nothing in particular going on there except for in this area. Well, he says, I understand this is a specifically important date to the Church of Los Angeles and to Grime himself. Is what you're working on part of that?
Yes. I'll look around at the others to see if they get any immediate reaction from them.
Do we trust this man?
You can. He's our boss, so.
Yeah, so that is a yes. Then just lay out everything that we're going to do.
Yeah.
Hey,
Bert, as far as I can tell, he should be the one running this. He should be the guy doing all this. He's far more powerful than any of us. So.
He's a single man.
But he's also more competent than any of us.
Luke, are you saying this in or out of character? Are you working this into character? That, you know,
no, I'm completely out of character that he should be doing it. Okay. He's far more competent than most of us.
Because he's got reasons. If you brought it up, he's got reasons. But
no, I'm not saying that Luke is going to pick up that he's... Well, he doesn't know that he's recognized all the stuff with the other people and that he doesn't know quite what it means for him to talk about Entity and Dragon and that. So he doesn't get it. Yeah. James is saying he should be doing all these. He's far more powerful than any of us. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll talk about. Oh yeah, what we've got planned. The reason for the glyphs is this, and we've got this sort of thing planned, and airships and all that sort of stuff.
I'm sure that
won't be a problem at all.
It's ancient Indian magics that will cause an earthquake or a flood or some sort of natural disaster that will kill these people and thousands of innocent people who are in the city of Lost Angels when we do it.
Yep, he listens to all of this, and he says, Do you know why you're doing this? Do you know who Grimes actually is?
A bad man. Possibly a demon of some type. That's not. No one seems to be that entirely clear. He seems to have died and came back, and it's never a good thing.
If nothing else, he is a man who was feeding other men to people.
No, it's the issues of war. Things happen. Supplies run out. No.
He actually looks at you guys as you're saying this, and he nods along and says, you really are good people. That you would put yourself at such considerable risk just to end the tyranny of one bad man without knowing exactly what he is. It's very commendable. He pauses for a moment. He says, are any of you particularly religious? Do you prescribe, and are any of you Christian in particular?
Somewhat lapsed a bit, but yeah, I've had that upbringing and I'm aware.
So you know your Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part.
I know what a Bible is.
They're really useful in those days when the toilet papers run out.
For Eddie, I mean, the Bible would fall under occult studies, so if nothing else, you may have studied it in that respect. Anyway, he says, well, in particular...
connection cut out, so I may have lost it a bit there.
Okay. He says, in particular, what I'm getting around to, and why I ask this question, is... It is kind of the crux as to why we're having you look into these things and why the agency has agreed to share some of this information with us. If you know your Bible, the very last chapters of the Bible talk of revelations of end times.
Must I shake our heads? What are you talking about?
That's with the seven hills and everything. There's no seven hills around here.
Well, the myth or the legend, if you will, has many different forms in different societies. Ragnarok in some. GM doesn't remember exactly what the Chinese version of it is, but there is one.
Obviously our Chinese expert would know, right, Richard?
Actually, I don't. I have not heard a Chinese apocalypse myth.
But there is some good evidence that we are in fact living in these end times, and one of the, at least in the Christian mythos, one of the precursors to the end times is the ride of the horsemen, horsemen of the apocalypse. Well. And I say this with all frankness, and I don't mean this to be to make light of any of you that are faithful, but we believe that those horsemen have been released, that they are here on Earth and personified, and they are taking the form of some very prominent figures. And we believe that you're Mr. Grimes is one of them. You know, he's waiting for someone to laugh or to make light of it, but he's...
I'm raising my eyebrows.
Pestilence?
It doesn't show, but I'm raising my eyebrows skeptically.
Is he pestilence, or...
We don't know that those personifications map exactly to the Christian mythos, but given... what conditions are like in California, how poorly things grow and how in certain areas that there's definitely, a problem with food and being able to grow it and harvest it and even ship it. Things seem to spoil very quickly here.
Or famine. Okay.
Now, this could be taken with a grain of salt, I'm sure, from some of you. And for people that don't believe or have faith in certain of these things. But I tell you that he shakes his head. There is a lot that we've been able to compile that points to this. And your Mr. Grimes, other than being just a very evil man, is a harbinger of what's to come.
I want to assume that Eddie's standing next to Sarah because she has a bottle. So I'm going to take the teacup and just hit her arm. so that she fills up the teacup, and I'm going to take a big swig.
Yep. I fill up this teacup with barely looking at it.
And I just guzzle it down.
And if we are to believe these myths, there are four of them, which means there are three more of them out there that we're having others like you investigate and see if we can't find a trend to find out who they are, more importantly, what they are.
Yong visibly relaxes. So you are not saying you want us to do this three more times?
he laughs a bit at that. He says, well, I'm sure that you all would be up to the task. We can't ask so much of such a small group. No, we do have others. There are two other modules that are just as long as this that are being done by others.
and there's a fourth one being written, yes, even as this week. So, yeah.
Oh, well, the Kickstarter's come through.
Well,
Well, in times like these, when it seems that darkness is everywhere, it seems there's always people like you that are able to stand up against it. And as long as that's true, I have faith that these won't be the last days.
Quite.
I'll drink to that.
So, yeah, so coming up there, right. Luke's not quite sure if he wants to take it seriously or not. If you take it seriously, there's a lot we should do. But
your plan seems go ahead.
Yeah, if we put aside the fact that he is a personification of a horseman, and if our plan goes ahead as planned, then there is stuff we would need to sort out, logistics and such, that we should probably talk about, regardless of what Grimes actually is. Of, as we say, potentially getting people out of the way if we don't want them all to die. And getting the equipment together that we need.
The question becomes, if we get them out of the way, will we not be tipping our hand?
It's a possibility. It depends on, it's either that or we have people standing by ready to leap in as soon as the flood hits, so we, or whatever it is that happens, earthquake, I can't remember what it is, whatever happens so we can get in and help people as soon as possible. Rather than, this thing suddenly happened that we only found out about and we're a couple of days away from helping. Oh dear. Whereas this, we can be, right next by, boom, it's happened, let's leap in and help.
Do not know how far the whatever it is will extend.
75, well, yes.
Would that's like to
work
think
on logistics.
Well, there is only one way to work out, and that is to test it before it happens, but I do not think we can do.
Well, going by your reports and what you told me here, this plan of yours seems to be as good as any. We don't know how to deal with these things. It may be that our Native American friends here and certainly have a lot more knowledge about some of these things than we do, that these, what they are calling prophecies or stories may very well be the thing that's needed. From what we understand, they did this before. That these personifications were here before, and they were sealed away by Wimatai, your people, maybe not your tribe particularly, but you found a way once before. And she just nods at that. She's like, all right, I know the stories.
Oh, yeah, I think it seems relevant that you tell us them now. Not necessarily now, but what you can remember.
Yeah, she nods, but doesn't immediately go into an explanation.
That's fine.
I. Well, my friends, I've had a long journey. I'd like to get a bit of shut eye. You were all fit for duty. Continue on as you've been. As I said, if you can get a wire out to me, we can have troops here in numbers within a day or two. Perdition. This has actually become quite accessible now, so probably within a day to perdition. If you use this as a staging ground, that's what you can consider it would take us to get here.
Well, you know when we are going to do this. You are the man who has access to those men. I do not know what more we can provide.
And I don't know how best they can use until whatever you plan goes off. So perhaps we schedule a little meeting here day before, perhaps?
It's just we start getting together before that.
Well, if too many men are moved into even a town of this size.
Us getting together before that. You know, keep in touch and maybe get together for a bit more powwows. If I may use that term, I think looking over at me, but I
expect you get glad at.
Yep. Well, I've got a meeting with Mr. O'Malley in the morning. I'm going to be on the train that afternoon. There's some other people such as yourselves I need to touch base with.
This is, you know, X many months away, so it's not like we're saying, you know, just leaving it to the last minute to try and talk about logistics. It's leaving it to the last minute and being stupid.
Yes, I can safely get to where I need to go along the train routes here, so I don't think it will be any large problem to be back into perdition and to be accessible in time for whatever you have planned. You may meet me along the path. He essentially maps out his itinerary for you. Going to the map here of California. He's essentially taking the railroad. He's going to pick it up in Shannonsburg, and he's basically going to he's going up the coast. So he is actually going to end up where you are thinking of going, or you were thinking of going for the last glyph.
I will still go there, you know. Can't go anywhere else.
There are two other places we have nearby to look at as well.
Yeah. Has Luke remembered that other place any better now that he's more in touch with his other side?
No, not so much.
Okay. So, yeah, maybe that other place, but no one knows about it. In character.
Nope.
So,
you've never
mentioned. It's not very helpful.
That's awesome. Nope.
Yeah. Certainly James has completely forgotten all about it. You keep saying it's there, but I've forgotten it. So.
Well, if we are done here, I would like to go back to sleep.
Yes.
Sleeping off a very strenuous spirit cleansing and need to
nice, we can say no more.
Yep. So yeah, Isaac is going to retire. He's rented a room here as well. He's going to get some shut eye. This is, you know, this is just afternoon. You're still anticipating you're supposed to meet someone else today. The train that Isaac came in actually should have been, well, no, not necessarily, but if the person you're going to meet were, you know, well, I'm not going to say that.
It's only 75 miles away, I assume. Yep. Probably. So.
Could come from anywhere.
Yep. Probably. He's got to be coming from Los Angeles. Because unless our man of the grid, whoever his name was, sent a message elsewhere to say, hey, go and see these people. No, I'm not going to really tell you what they're doing or anything. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
All right, so young.
Oh, don't know. He could take like 5 weeks to turn up. Well, we know.
Oh no, he said I'll have somebody there. Well, it does not matter. You were the one who spoke to him. We did not. Yeah.
So young, you're gonna go and sleep it off a bit more. What are the rest of you guys doing?
Oh yes.
We still need to do probably a bit more planning for going to, what's the name, the sanitarium. I thought the next thing we were doing was doing that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, breaking somebody out of that.
But dragons. Oh.
Oh, you can come back for this, we promise.
Oh. Yeah, they might be on the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, well, as you guys break up, everybody is, all your rooms are on this floor. So what ends up happening is you're all breaking up. One of the hotel staffs, one of the bellboys comes up. And
I thought we were in a common room where it was like rooms off of here.
Yeah, right. So I'm saying okay. This floor is, you know, this is where all your rooms are, is this floor. But one of the bellboys from the hotel comes up. This is after Young, you've gone to your room, and Isaac's excused himself to go and check into his room. So Luke, Sarah, and Eddie is up here. Probably Wimitai went back with Young. Luke, one of the bellhops comes up.
Run away.
And he says, I'm sorry, Mr. Villeneuve. You gave them the real names here, I think.
We're not Villeneuve. Subtle enough to go under fake names.
There's a man downstairs that says he's here to speak to you.
Like the story. Oh, yes. What does he look like?
Well, he gave a card, and he hands over a card.
Yeah. That's just got a grid on it.
Nope. Actually, it is. Dang it. Sorry. Lost my text. Give me just a second. Cue waiting music. Do.
Young snores loudly in order to cover this.
There you go.
Silence. Make up your own noises to insert here.
Sorry, I'm trying to find this guy's first name. So the card, last name is Pascal, which is the same name, as you were told the original, Men of the Grid, the leader's name was.
His name Blaze?
No. I'm not going to dig it up. So his name is Bertrand Pascal.
That's just as bad. Bertrand Russell. Hmm. All right. We'd probably have him sent out. All right. I don't know. What is the usual? Well, we do whatever is the usual sort of thing for this time. Either we
come up to this common room is where you'd your personal rooms are kind of like your bedroom. So
send him up and the lunch menu as well. I assume it's now late enough for lunch. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, certainly. He comes back with a man that's dressed well enough. Black suit, tie, bowler hat. He's youngish. He's probably in his early 20s. He's got his hat off in his hand. He's got a walking cane. Black hair, green eyes, pale complexion. He looks like he's not seen a lot of hard work, and his hands are soft as he puts his hand out to greet you.
Do you want to play that love interest card now, Sierra?
I think I have that card.
Yeah, you can always pass it off.
Oh, there. Mr. Villeneuve. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Although, never quite sure of the spelling myself.
Oh, yes. I believe I'm here. I was sent here to meet with you from a common acquaintance in the city below us.
Yes, the city that we're
over. Oh, tea. Would you mind if I help myself?
Ah, certainly. That's why we had some brought up, in case. Yes. Because we're good hosts.
It was a long travel. I didn't know that there was the rail lines had made it all the way through. I would not have used a stagecoach. I'm misinformed, I'm afraid. Pours himself some tea and is, your friends?
This is Dr. Sarah Beauchamp, and this is Mr. Eddie Guff.
Ah, Mr. Guff, Ms. Beauchamp?
I'll tip my hat to him.
Eddie and Doctor, this is, not Blaise Pascal, Bertrand Pascal!
Ah, yes, yes.
I'm gonna call him Blaze from now on, just so you know.
Yeah, sure. Yes, he waits to see if anyone sits down. If anyone sits down, he'll sit. Otherwise, he will stand.
Yep. Well, we'll avail ourselves of. Well, I got lunch delivered for a reason. So,
yeah. So I basically just make some pleasantries until after the bellboy is gone and you've got some food, food there. And he's like, well, I'm here on behalf of a certain brotherhood from Lost Angels below. I was sent here to answer what questions I may have you. I don't know the exact circumstances which have brought you to the Men of the Grid's attentions. But anything I can do to help the brothers?
Quite.
He waits.
Yep. Not quite sure where to begin. As we were not quite aware until recently of the Brotherhood's existence, so...
Well, yes, we've been fighting for a free Lost Angel since it was founded. With Grimes' Edict and being formally chased from the city, we've got little power there, but we still have a strong supporters, especially amongst the, amongst the Spanish class there, who are paying lip service to Grimes' dominion. But they afford us ways into the city and out, information both ways. And I understand from my contact there that you yourselves have something planned, that you were there. He just shakes his head and says, I'm sorry, I'm bad at this. I'm just going to put my cards out on the table here. I'm a lawyer. I am the son of the original founder of the Men of the Grid. My part in this is a remunerary sort. I provide them with funds to continue the struggle. I do what I can in the court systems to try and get Mr. Grimes's, illegal dominion of the area, revoked. But so far, no body of government or law seems to be interested in ousting him from his nest. I understand from my contacts that you are offering some amount of mischief to Mr. Grimes, and we are, of course, in any way capable, very happy to see such mischief played upon him.
Yes, and to be just as cards on the table, we're not looking so much at political reform as possibly something a bit more physical and demonstrative.
Well, of course, I assume that your ideals will not be as lofty as those of the Men of the Grid. I'm sure you're into this for some sort of payment. Who's hired you? What is your target? Perhaps I can offer assistance, legal or another means. Well, I'm sorry. Again, I say I'm very bad at this. This whole cloak and dagger communication is—it's just not. I'm sorry. I'm a very forward man, and I don't like to obfuscate where it is unnecessary. You're likely being paid to accomplish some task in Los Angeles. I have seen such before, people being paid to get loved ones out of there that may have fallen under the persuasion of Grimes, fathers trying to free daughters, perhaps a wife. He seems like he's fishing here. If that's the case, we have a network that might be able to help you if you're willing to maybe help us a bit.
Oh, well, we're certainly willing. As I said, I look at the others for if they want to put chip in anything at this point.
I assure you, it will be of the most discretion. I mean, you're of course not a very favored party there. As a matter of fact, we've been outlawed and stricken from Los Angeles with a kill on sight order if we are to be found lobbying there. But as I say, I understand the need to make sure that family is protected. And of course, we have helped people to do this before. We had a young wife not too many months ago that was successfully removed from the city. I don't know how the Grimes' programming runs deep. I don't know if she was ever returned to the loving wife that she was before, but at least she's out of his clutches now. Perhaps I can arrange something similar to happen for your benefactor.
How much would it take to, say, evacuate the entire city at a moment's notice?
His eyes get kind of wide at that. Without an edict coming from the pulpits of Grime, impossible, I would say.
Yeah. As I said, our eventual aim is somewhat more physical, and we believe that Grimes may not be dealt with in very simple matters, and we need to go to other extreme measures to deal with him that would cause rather extensive damage to the city. Now, we have no intention to hurt the citizens, but there are certain things we have to do, which there may be unfortunate consequences of.
His eyes get really big for a minute, and he says, someone has finally got the financial backing to kill the man? You, explosives? Sounds like what you're going... He seems really excited here. It's like, we've been...
Something along those lines, yes, that will deal with Grimes and his high-powered stoolies. But as I said, it will be very devastative.
Well, he kind of, you know, he loosens his necktie a little bit. He says, well, as a lawyer, of course, I can't condone the murder of a citizen in such a way, but sometimes mad dogs need to be put down, yes?
Yes.
I'm going to chuckle at that. That is funny. and hold up a bottle to him.
Well, this is a whole much larger scale than I first supposed.
Yes.
Does the destruction need to be so, I mean, perhaps, I mean, sure, a few buildings, perhaps the building that he's in at the time. My resources there can probably get you something of an itinerary, if that would help.
The nature of the event is somewhat beyond our control. We can just... The other factors are setting it up, and we're just going to be the ones to, as it were, pull the trigger. And the setting up of the actual devastation itself is, as I said, somewhat beyond our control, that we can guide it as needed and we can make use of it, but we can't scale it.
Thinking of himself clever, his eyes get wide again and he's like, you're working for that Hellstrom lad, are you not? I heard about the bombs that were laid at the beginning of the fiasco that created the understanding between him and Grimes. It's a charade, isn't it? Your Mr. Hellstrom, he's the one behind this, isn't he? It makes sense. Who else would have such technology, such devastating power to level a city as large as Los Angeles? His eyes get kind of wide.
Luke just pretty much puts his hand up as if to say, sure, why not? have you been able to talk to Hellstrom at all? Any of your brotherhood able to get messages through to him?
No, unfortunately not. We've been able to engage in some listening in to some private conversations between Grimes and himself. Nothing was very useful. They seem to be working out some kind of understanding as far as delivery routes, amount of ghost rock to be produced and hauled along the railway. It all seemed very more on the monetary end of things. They didn't discuss very much in the open. However, we have some people placed there as minor functionaries in his cafeteria, some of his low-level functionaries, those that clean his rooms, for instance. We were able to have some pull with those people, pay them for information. Some of them are part of the cause, of course. Many are not. Such devastations that you're talking of, though, there are many that live there that are not faithful to Grimes, you must understand. They are living there out of simple need. There's an entire quarter of the Spanish that call that home, that yeah. that only and there are many people the grime because they
and there
must.
Are many people around the city who would, of course, have no, who are just there for because it's a place to be rather than they're following Grimes.
We can evacuate certain quarters of the city.
Yeah. How much time would you need and how long would it take?
If this was a spur at the moment and they had no inclination that something was coming, unfortunately, I would say hours.
Because one of the things that we definitely would not want to do is tip our hand at any faith. And if people suddenly saw that, hey, these people are leaving, of course, they might be suspicious. And then
I've seen the destruction that Mr. Hellstrom's bombs have caused can't be lessened any, you say?
No.
More surgical strike, perhaps? Perhaps just the temple itself?
We would if we could. As I said, unfortunately, that part of it is beyond our control. We can only affect the timing and make sure that it's going to go off at the most appropriate moment to try and capture Grimes. It is unfortunate that it must be so large scale, but that is what we have available to us to ensure Grimes's demise.
That's a lot of lives that perhaps don't deserve such a death. There's so many there that don't.
Indeed. If we could. This is why that's why I'm bringing it up now. If you're able to do anything at all, if there's some other way we can get people out of the way or something like that. Fortunately, this plan is long term, and while we could potentially, you know, call it off, this is our best effort to go after Grimes, and this is something that he would not be able to counter.
Sarah and Eddie, give me notice rolls. Not Luke. You're kind of engaged in talking.
Yep, no, that's fine. I wouldn't notice anything. Dragon might, but I wouldn't.
Oh wow, both of you guys noticed that. You know, it's a subtle shift in shadows, but you're pretty sure that one or more people are lurking down the stairwell, listening in on the conversation.
Okay.
All right. So he goes on and he says, well, of course, if we had, say, a few days warning, certainly we could get everyone out who would not be deserving of such a fate.
But I want to knock over the bottle, cause a commotion, and say, I'm going to have to go and clean this up and go down the stairs.
Okay. All right. That's good. Sharon, are you doing anything?
No, because I'm not particularly stealthy.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not going to be stealthy at all.
And he's not here.
All right, Eddie, you come down the staircase, and near the bottom of the stairs, so that they're out of sight, but just enough that they could hear what's being said in the common room above. There are two men in kind of basic homespun clothing, and they look like they might be workers, maybe even migrant workers, not dressed too well, we'll say. Both of them are very wary as you're walking down. They kind of just start the conversation between each other and you know they weren't talking beforehand. They seem to be talking about, oh, so what bars are here? Oh, I hear there's this Red's place. And all right, so what do you do?
When they say bars, my ears are going to pick up. And I'm going to say, bars, you want to go to bars? I want to walk in between them, put my arms around both of them, so one on either side of me, mm-hmm. and walk them out and go to a bar.
Okay, give me a persuasion roll, and then give me a notice roll as well.
Well, I don't really have persuasion, so that's unskilled.
Okay.
You could ace it. You got the card, I think. If you wanted to, you don't have to.
Well, he's still got a 4 with it. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. Okay, now give me a notice roll. Perfect. So you throw your arm around these guys' necks, and you kind of, you know, it's like, speaking of bars, and as you're leading them away, they seem to be willing to be led. They're a little hesitant at first, but you're noticing from the vantage point that you're just a little taller than both of these guys. And both of them, underneath their shirt, you can see that they have that all of Grimes' enforcers, the guys in the red robes, have these wooden crosses.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these guys have them around their necks, kind of hidden and tucked away down their shirts.
Even better. In the conversation of, oh, let's go to the bars. You know, I know a bar. I'm going to slip in, brother.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to count that as part of your persuasion roll. Okay, so they say step out, and they say brother. And they make a little complicated hand sign. Give me an occult roll. I'll give you that. You might have noticed it before. Okay, you want to stay with that, or do you want to chip it?
I'll chip it. I want this to go well.
And you can still use your card if you chip, if you want to. Totally up to you.
Oh, that's
good. No, that's all right.
All right. So, yeah, you've seen this hand talk before. You've noticed it between a few of them. You're not exactly sure. You know that it's imparting, like, what rank they are. And you're not exactly sure what the correct reply is, but you remember one of the guys wearing not the red colored robes, one of the other colored robes threw this sign out, and you're figuring that he was probably of a higher status. So you throw that out. They're like, oh! They both do this little bow and in front of you as you go out of there, like, oh, brother, we didn't know that there were people here ahead of hand. Did you hear what the unbelievers were saying?
I heard everywhere, and there's nothing to worry about. I'm on.
Wow, Chris, stop! Please stop.
Robot bad. Can you if you've got a USB mic, can you disconnect and reconnect it?
Yeah. Yeah, is that better?
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So you tell them what?
I told them I heard every word. And I'm on top of it, and it will all be reported back. You have nothing to worry.
Oh, we have a flight of angels here, sir. We could take them out tonight. We're here for you, sir. Whatever you need.
You're here for me, and I thank you, but we're not taking them out tonight. There's more going on, and this is going to be a couple of days.
And they're both shocked for a moment. They're like, oh, of course, sir. You would, of course, be wanting to go for the head of the organization. Yes, of course. Brilliant.
Yes. That's why you don't act right away. You find out, and you have to be patient. Be patient, my brother. I will contact you.
Yes, sir. If you look for us at the Red Saloon, there's a flight of us here ready for your command.
Okay, thank you. Now I know where you are. I will make sure you stay informed.
They do a little salute and...
Yeah, shoo him away.
Okay, meanwhile...
Indian woman who's in charge.
Meanwhile, upstairs. You were saying?
I can't remember where I was up to.
Well, anyway, I mean, he's not completely opposed to your plan because Grime is causing so much destruction just for being there. He's like, you know, I don't like the idea that so many innocent people might be caught in this, but if there's anything we can do to help you mitigate the damage, we will do what we can.
Yes, we'll start talking logistics about how to contact each other and if there's something we can do for them. And
yes. Essentially, he gives you the name of a couple of businesses that are firmly supporting the men of the grid. Not surprisingly, the bar outside of town is one of them, but there are some businesses in the middle of town that are as well. He shows you the men don't wear any kind of adornment or feature that would allow them to be easily detected, but he does show you basically a hand sign. The angels use similar signs to as a battle talk, you know, a way to communicate information between So it is not unusual for people in Los Angeles to be communicating with hand gestures.
Mm.
But he shows you one in particular that identifies a brother to a brother.
Oh, neat. Can you teach us all the symbols or some of the symbols, some of the other symbols, in case we need to catch what they're saying or possibly fake something like that?
He can, in fact.
Ooh, neat. Fortunately, I've used all my language skills up, so.
That's fine. I'll just simply, I'll give you a bonus to recognize it, with a notice roll if you, see it again. It's not complicated, but there are a lot of gestures. They use this for battlefield, communication when they're trying to be silent, to communicate over distance. Some of it can be done with something similar to like semaphores. But there you go. Yeah, he spends the next hour or so going over several of them with you.
Ooh, neat. You're on this, Sharon?
I assume, Sharon, you're still up there with him, right?
Yes.
Going through, okay. Right? The other thing that he lets you know is that beneath Lost Angels, since it was kind of built on the shattering of the coast, there are several sea caves that the Brotherhood of the Grid use, or the Men of the Grid use, to travel around town without being seen. He shows you a couple of entrances. He doesn't know them all because they change. When some are found, they close them down and open others. One of them is the easiest to get to, is the one that is in that bar right outside of Los Angeles. But there are others. Once you access these tunnels, you basically can get from – you can bypass large parts of Los Angeles without having to be above in town. So they lead to cellars in several buildings. All right. So he has convinced himself that you are working for Hellstrom, so that you guys have a lot of backing, and that Hellstrom apparently is setting Grime up for the fall.
Yep, and we let him believe that, at least I do.
Yep, and he is wanting to give you as much useful knowledge as he can, to make sure that what people they can get out in time are gotten out in time. He is concerned about that. Not so concerned about the place being leveled, because they figured that, you know, they're going to have to rebuild it anyway into proper grids. So.
Yeah, well.
Leveling the place just saves them a little bit of time.
Yeah, I am also giving an indication of sort of the time span without being explicit about dates. Just sort of, it's not going to happen in the next month or two. We've got a bit of time to work on this yet. So,
Eddie, you will come up at the tail end of this conversation after you have sent off your wayward angels.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm going to have a towel with me to clean up what I spilled.
Okay.
And then I'm going to wait for Mr. Pascal leave, and then I'll tell everybody what, you know, what transpired.
Well, Mr. Pascal tells you, well, he, now that he knows there's a train here, he's going to try and catch the last train out.
Okay.
So he can distance himself a little bit by here. He does tell you the firm that he works for, if you ever need a good lawyer.
We may yet. Oh, I've heard of this chap in, Shannonsburg by the name of Blah. Can't remember his name.
Okay, so there you go. Eddie, are you going to try and warn him about anything or not?
No, I'm not going to warn him.
Okay.
he should know well enough that he's going to be followed.
Yeah, okay. Out of game, I don't think he's that competent. Never mind.
Oh, neither do I, but, you know, it's on
Eddie that. Just doesn't care.
No.
Yeah, and Luke doesn't know about it, so he's not going to say anything, so. Hey, what the hell? He'll turn up dead at some point and we'll all feel sad and, oh dear.
All right. Well, now what? Yeah, Eddie, so you've got some information that you may relay or not. There's a flight of angels in town.
I will let everybody know that there is a flight of angels, where they're at. Kind of look at...
Going crap at that point because they're fairly dangerous from what I think we know.
Yeah, they are kind of dangerous. They just lead them on a wild goose chase. Tell them, you know, whatever.
Would a flight of angels, would that just be the group of bodyguards, or are we talking about the actual angel figures that come down?
Well, from what you've had in some briefings before, a flight is usually five, with right. one being, at least one being, capable of sorceress powers, or angelic powers.
Yes.
And the other four being very competent fighters. Right, sometimes, though, if it's one of the more elite squads, well, you know, it's five people regardless. A flight is five. But if it's one yeah. of the more elite ones, of course, they weren't wearing the robes, so you don't know what color of robes they had. Though Eddie might be able to make a guess if he tells you what hand signs he made and what robe color he saw.
We know hand signals now. Woohoo.
If they're elite, they're probably all casters.
Let's hope they're not elite.
Did these guys, the two that I met, I'm assuming they did not look like elite spellcasters.
They seem pretty gullible.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I don't think they'll be spellcasters.
I mean, you were incredibly charming when you did that. So, but yeah, they seemed a little gullible, and they, you know, just how they dressed and how they acted, you're thinking this probably is not an elite squad.
Is there still the underground children ring that can harass the flight and bring them down to nothing?
I don't think that was this city.
Short round didn't have enough time to really set that up over here.
Yep.
Darn.
There's options we've got if we want to. What you need to do is let the sheriff know, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll let the sheriff know.
He'll know. He'll deal with them in his own way.
Remember, sheriff's not in town, but all the deputies are.
Yeah, but as soon as we leave town, the sheriff will turn up, and then they'll be in trouble.
That works for me.
Yeah, there's options. If we could go and face them ourselves if we wanted to.
Well, does what would we do with them?
Yeah, the Weimatai. Just Weimatai. Yeah, we've got a treat for you.
Yeah, slaughter them. Yeah, why not? Disbelieving white man.
Just how callous are we at this point?
Well, Grimes is one of the four horsemen, so.
Yeah, apparently. Wow. Weimatai, we got you and a young a wedding present.
Oh, that works for me. I don't mind.
So what are you guys doing?
Apparently we're telling Weimatai about it and saying, "Hey, you take care of it."
So you're knocking on Young and Weimatai's door?
Not right this minute. Once they've arisen, you know.
All
right.
Yeah, maybe the next day or something for dinner, over a nice dinner meal
later that evening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got you a nice treat. You wonder if you might want to do something about it. There's these angels over there who we're not very fond of.
Yeah, I'm tempted to say, I am not your hatchet man, but there's Weimatai there, and she's actually and got she hatchets.
So. And she is.
Yeah. But she's not a man, though, so. You
know. Yes, I know. I mean, there are others.
The one thing we'll probably want to do is make it sure it happens on the down low, and some of us may need to be there to help deal with Magic Man. Particularly my vibrational thing, you might be able to help. Negative vibration.
I can get really close to them and be there when it all starts and just turn on them. They'll never suspect.
You can get close to all of them and deal with it?
Not deal with it, but I would need
help.
But
you can get close to all of them?
Yes. They believe I am part of their flock. So, yeah. I could get close to them.
Okay. Well, we will.
We go on a killing spree.
We'll need to go out of town somewhere to.
Yeah, that's a point.
Perhaps we are going to meet another group of contacts. They are out there, something like that. I do not know. But I would not recommend just
turning up
attacking
at the Reds.
No. Yeah. No. I mean, I was also kind of thinking of just telling them that the contacts have left or are leaving, and there's no need to be here anymore. They can go back.
Well, do we want to get rid of them, or do we want to kill them, is probably what it comes down to.
I would say just get rid of them.
They are not going to stop coming after us.
Well, how long are we going to be in town?
They are not going to stop coming after us. They are not going to stop coming to this town.
Oh yeah, they'll always be here.
I do not know if we kill them. I do not know if we send a better message back to them that we are not to be traveled with, or if we simply disappear, whether they will devote more or less resources to finding us.
Yeah, but did they come here because of Pascal or because of us?
Well, where did Pascal come from? Who is Pascal?
Well, something you know is that you don't think they were there before Pascal came up to talk to Luke. So take that as you will.
Yeah, I'm assuming they were following him. The man from the grid.
By the way, blah. Bing. That's how you do it.
That is a lot of information.
Well, to a degree.
Where did Pascal come from? Then? Did he come from Lost Angels?
We know where his business is, so we should know whereabouts he hangs out in this location here.
Yeah, I mean, looking at his card, I mean, he's based out of Shannonsburg, and he said he took a coach here.
Shannonsburg? Well, they must have been following him from Shannonsburg. If we kill them, then it is to be assumed by them that they were killed by men of the grid. Because that is who they were trailing. They have not had time to report to anybody about us. If we leave them, they will probably leave town to continue following Pascal, but will have time to report on us.
Which means?
They're dead meat. Sarah can feast.
Sarah hasn't told us about it. Yeah, give me some slack here, guys.
He's the one who brought it up, not me, okay?
Has Sarah told the rest of the group about being undead yet? Or not?
No.
Okay, good.
Yep.
She hasn't come to grips with that herself yet.
That's fine. So, yes. Those are our options, really. If they are following... if they are following Pascal, then Pascal might leave town soon, and they would probably follow him.
He was planning on leaving straight away.
Do we know what they are doing now? These people?
Nope. I don't. Oh, good.
Where are they?
They're at the one bar.
Reds.
Now, do I think that they have actually seen all of us together, or they just follow Pascal into the place and then notice he went up the stairs?
You don't know. I mean, you could surmise some things, but you don't know. Because they, from their vantage, they couldn't see who was upstairs. They could just hear voices. If they followed Pascal, then... Yeah, I'm not going to say anything more. Yeah, I mean, you know what
I
can figure out.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think they've seen us. They've only seen me.
But they believe you to be an ally.
Yes.
Then so
they probably just believe that Pascal met with somebody or a group. But they don't know who. I think we could probably just leave him alone.
I think they can find out who we are very easily. We are known people in this town.
Yeah, but I also don't.
Either think... you. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I also think bothering them or would probably just bring more notice than we want, and also it would be creating trouble.
So you are for leaving them?
Yeah.
It depends on how much they've reported back is what it comes down to, which we have no idea about.
Well, they could not have reported anything.
They may have reported we're following him to...
we are following him. Perhaps they followed him to... Perhaps they've reported they followed him to Perdition. But Perdition is a big place. It could be anybody here.
How much do we think we're on Grimes' radar?
After what happened
That's a good question.
After what happened in Los Angeles,
because if they don't know who we are,
we know what we are fighting. We know what this is. I am not prepared to let this go away because we decided that two people might possibly not know about what is going on. If this is truly what they say it is, then I do not believe any sacrifice is too great.
So you're for killing them now?
That's what it sounds like to me.
I was presenting options before, but now that I am have been out of the room for a while and no longer in the fog of that thing, that is my thought.
In the background, Lumitai is weighing her threatening axe, and then she shakes her head and pulls out her killing axe.
So many different axes. So many different uses.
Yep.
That is where I stand.
One view I take is that the less of them there are, the less there'll be for us to deal with later.
I'm up for it.
I will not think any less of you, Sarah, if you do not want to be part of this. I know you have taken an oath as a doctor to do no harm, and that you very frequently use your shotgun to gun down innocent people.
I do not gun down innocent people.
And these are not innocent people.
I was merely making a point.
Yes.
That I will not think less of you for doing so.
You would not think less of me for gunning down innocent people. Thank you.
I would not think less of you for not participating in this. If you do not wish to, if it is against your sensibilities.
So you just want to go and basically murder people?
Yep.
I think that the possibility of a leak of information about us, given what we are up against, outweighs the lives of these two people. It outweighs the lives of any of us equally.
Well, it outweighs the lives of the whole flight, because we're going to kill the whole flight.
There is not a flight here, I did not think.
I thought there was an entire flight here.
There isn't a flight here over Ridge.
There is? I thought they were going to call in a flight. Am I wrong? Huh. Well, even more so. Then the entire flight. Not just these two. Then these seven men? I forget how many there are in a flight. Plus however many these two are. Yes.
I'm not sure if these two are part of the flight or not. No idea.
Well, 8 men instead of 7 men. That makes a complete difference to my calculation.
Well, there's only 5 in the flight, plus possibly these two.
Now, there's 6 to a flight.
I thought there's 5 to the flight, one of which was a magic user.
Well, we will find out when we turn up there and we are outnumbered. Well, whatever happens, we will be outnumbered, but this will be...
Yeah.
We lure them into the deserts, or wherever it is.
We lure them into an ambush.
Outside of town.
Yep.
Yeah. I will sit here and not participate. I think it would not be a proper thing for me to do.
She does have her practice to consider at this town.
Well, if you do not wish to join us for this, then could you go to Red's and sit and see if anybody else is with them in case they do not send everybody? And at the very least, tell us, follow them, tell us where they go or whatever.
Well, you do not want to get Eddie to go and lead them all out to the ambush.
Right. Understood. Let us suggest that they are smarter than the two people that they have met, and that they leave someone behind, or somebody is with them, following them, to check on their loyalty as well.
Yes, I could do that.
If it is nothing, then Sarah spends a evening in Reds, defending off the advances of the clientele. And I apologize for that. If it is something, then we need to know.
Avoiding the conflict, Sarah kills 5 men in Reds.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you...
We set up an ambush and get Eddie to lead them into it.
Much.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
I don't know how much detail you want for this bit or not.
No, that's fine. So, Eddie, then, as you're leaving and you're going to go and try to get them to go outside of town, I guess, is the plan?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We don't want to have the slaughter on the doorstep.
So, as you're walking across the Reds, you notice a group of 3 men coming out of Joker's telegraphy service. And one of them is one of the 2 men you saw. And he flashes a hand sign at you. As they're leaving the establishment.
Flash them, sign them back.
did you share notes? Because you weren't there when he was, Luke was learning all the signs. So did you guys spend time sharing notes or no?
I would say yes, we did. Spend a little time.
I'm pretty sure we would have, because it would have been useful information.
Give me a notice roll, Eddie.
Thank God Joker runs the telegraphy office and will probably not send that message.
All right. Yes, the message is essentially reported back. All's clear.
Good.
Yep. He assumes that you're undercover, so he's not drawing attention that you know him. Otherwise,
That's perfectly fine.
Yep. And as they step away and walk off, you out of the telegraphist's office, the owner steps out and he's looking around and he catches sight of you, Eddie. He waits for the guys to kind of turn a corner as they're heading back to Reds, and he waves you over.
Okay, I'll walk over.
All right. It's like, Eddie, I don't know what's going on, but those men that just turned the corner there just paid for a telegraph to be sent off to Los Angeles. I didn't send it, of course. Made them think I did.
Said, what did they want?
I don't know. It's a little... He gives you the sheet. It's crumpled up, so like they crumpled up and threw it away after he supposedly sent it. It looks to be in some kind of code. It's not particularly obfuscated. I mean, essentially it sounds like they followed whoever they was tracking here, and it seems like they're probably getting ready to ambush or kill him.
All right, I'll look at Joker and say, you don't mind if I take this, do you?
No, please do.
I said,
something's about to happen, though. You might want to go and tell the sheriff if he's in town. Yes, you know how he is about gunplay in the middle of the streets and all. Especially
we're
if
on it.
Especially if he's not included in that gunplay.
He's going to be notified. But things are going to be happening pretty quick. So thank you so much for this, and I'm going to have to go.
Yep. Give me a smarts roll. Oh yeah, good enough. Yeah, it's not much of a code. I mean, you're able. They reported in. They've been tracking this guy apparently since Shannonsburg. They're going to take him out before he leaves, and that he apparently met some people here, unknown people here. So that's pretty much what you're able to decipher from what they sent.
Okay.
Which was pretty much a letter that was like, hi, Mom, the boys and I followed up on.
Yeah. Okay, well, so I'm going to head back to our place. Mm-hmm. And let everybody know that the telegram, they think the telegram has been sent. It hasn't. They're going to probably go after Mr. Pascal. We got to tell the sheriff or the deputies and see if they want to take care of this.
But they have done nothing, have they?
Well, they're talking about
in a code that they can deny.
Yeah.
He basically warned you that if you were going to start something, you might want to inform the sheriff first.
But that was in town. We were planning on doing it out of town.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Sure, it makes it perfectly safe.
What does the thing say? It says that they are going to try and do it before he leaves town. Yes?
Literally what it says is, hey, Mom, Shannonsburg was fun. We followed Uncle
right,
Ike to...
Right, but the code broken down that Eddie worked out was, yep, hey, we're going to do this before he leaves town, right?
Pretty much.
All right. Yep. Okay. And where is he now?
Train station, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Then we need to move now. Because if they're going to do it before he leaves town, then...
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. We send the boy off to the deputy's office to say, hey, there's something going down at the train station. But right. I wouldn't want to trust a deputy to deal with someone who's got to throw around magic. Okay, so...
Well, yeah, we can just happen to be there.
Yeah. Actually, I'm surprised that guy who saw us, Bell or whatever his name was, says, you've got the glow of PCs around you. No wonder you're so good at this.
All right, so you guys head out to the train station quickly. Basically just down the hill to the train head. And this is the last train going out for the day. This is pretty packed. There's a lot of people getting ready to board up. There are things being pushed on. Everybody give me a notice roll as you try to find. Eddie, you're the only one who knows what at least two of the guys look like, but everybody that was in the lobby knows what Mr. Pascal looked like, except for Young, who has no idea what he's looking for.
And I look for the guy.
We know the fact that we know what Flight of Angels look like if they're not dressing up.
Do you need a notice roll from me as well?
If you're trying to find Mr. Pascal, sure. Yep.
Did you come to the train station or not is the question.
Oh, yeah, that's true. If you didn't, then no.
Mm-mm, no, I didn't go to the train station.
Where did you go? Reds.
To Reds.
Like was planned?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, well, you give me a notice roll as well, but for different reasons.
Okay. And
I'll give Wimitar a notice roll as well, Richard.
Who's Wimitar
going with?
She wasn't in the room.
Yeah. She wasn't in the room either.
Wow. Nope, don't worry.
Your failure. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so let me just go down the list here. Eddie rolled pretty well. Luke,
no.
5. And
he rolled 3. Eddie rolled a 3.
Yeah, I rolled a 3.
Notice. Okay, I see. 3. Luke, you rolled a 5.
Yep.
All right, so Luke, you're going to notice Mr. Pascal and Young. You're not sure what to look for, but you can give me a general notice roll just to see if anything odd catches your eye.
Can I play the ace card on this?
If you wanted to, if you don't, actually, you can have a chip for the whole, scene with you bluffing the guys off. So that'll give you another chip there. Here, I'll give it to you. If you want to use that instead, you can.
Yeah, I'll use the chip and just roll it.
I'm pretty sure the card says play before rolling, but hey,
that's true.
That doesn't matter. So what, you can spend a
chip
and say, hey, I play the card.
Yeah,
it doesn't need to. Look at the awesomeness he has done.
Okay,
yes.
Eddie, you do not see any of the guys that either of the two guys that you confronted back at the hotel, but you do see Mr. Pascal, Young. There's a lot of people here, mostly white.
They all look the same to me.
All right, so you see Mr. Pascal. He's checking his pocket watch. He's got a small valise. So he's about ready to jump on the train, and he clutches his chest. He seems to be having some problems. People around him are kind of giving him some room. One guy is seems to be trying to help him to the ground as he's continues to clutch his chest, and his legs go out from beneath him. What do you guys do?
Look, Mr. Pascal, I'll go to him. Keep an eye out for his attackers. Which could be the guy that's right beside him. That's what I'm wondering.
The guy that's beside him is helping him to remove his necktie, and he's kind of opening up his shirt up. He seems to be trying to help him.
So we can see this, right?
Yes, yes.
I've run off to get the doctor because, hey, doctoring things need to be done.
Yep.
We met our staying, I take it.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, so what's Eddie doing?
Looking around to see if I could
scanning
see
the crowd.
Might be.
Okay,
yeah.
Good enough. All right, yes, a lot of people are like, you know, there's some screams, and some people are like pointing. Mostly they're good enough to give the person helping Mr. Pascal some room. He's cleared the guy's shirt. He's loosened his necktie. Luke, you run over there. He seems to be, you know, Pascal, his face is going white. He's broken out in sweat. He's clutching his chest. The guy seems to be giving every indication of trying to help him.
Okay.
So what
is there any sign on his body of like a dart or a bullet wound or anything?
No, not at all.
All right. I don't know how magic works. I'm going to try it anyway.
Hey.
Assuming that this is some kind of magical attack, I have no idea if this is going to be effective or not. I'm going to set up my negative wave disruptor thing with Jiggery and hope it's going to dispel whatever magic's currently affecting him.
Ah,
try
okay.
Spell attack.
Sure. And is it a negative 2 if it's a different type of...
Yep.
Yep. Go ahead. Give me a roll.
And I'm bloody wounded.
Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
That was... I kill him! I kill him so hard! Okay, I'm going to chip that.
Might I suggest you take the success and a raise card?
I need to chip it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, can you pass that to me, Eddie, if you don't want it?
Well, sure. Do, 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 do.
Yeah. Here, have this card for no reason. But, you know, I've got to go over your card. If you want a better card, you know, hey. Boom. So I've chipped an arrow. Hey, success with a raise.
With an automatic raise. Okay. Yeah, whatever. What does it look like? Well, what is people looking around that are seeing the scene? What do you do? What does it look like?
I'm trying to remember what device looks like. I can't remember what it looks
it's
like.
It's a box with a button you push. That was basically the description we got before.
Okay. So I pull up my box with a button. It does vibrate and seems to hum. And it's probably a glow would sort of start emanating from around it, sort of washing over the immediate area.
Okay. The guy that's down is just trying to help him, doesn't take a lot of notice, but does notice the glow. It slaps him back. It's like, whoa! Hold it there, partner! What's going on? Mr. Pascal stops convulsing and kind of lets out a sigh and just goes limp, but you can tell he's still breathing.
I helped. Now check on him.
Just invented cardiac paddles. All right. Yeah, he's still breathing. He seems to be mostly unconscious. You can slap him around a little bit to get him to wake up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my heart. My chest started hurting so bad. Yeah, he made a stamina roll there in the round before this happened. So, lucky you. He's still alive.
Yay. Yep. Okay, let's get you.
So there's a lot of people around you. It's like, oh, are you all right, sir? The attendants to the train are coming out. It's like, doctor, doctors, anyone a doctor? Meanwhile, so which doctor did you run for, Luke? Your doctor or the doctor of the town?
Luke?
Young, not Luke.
Young.
Ran towards the doctor where he knew where they were. Which would be... Well, actually, yeah, I don't know where the doctor's office is, so yeah, two reds.
Sarah, then. Okay, so...
you know what? I actually got a card that will help here. I never thought this would work. A character distance is doubled for the day, or one character gains double pace for one round, so...
So you barely get into reds, then, so you're flubbing that roll as Young grabs your arm and says...
We are in need of a doctor. This way.
Okay, I... Go and run after him.
Okay. Then you come upon the scene where Mr. Pascal is still laying flat on the ground. His shirt's been opened up. Luke is kind of protectively above him.
Keep smashing
some
the
scene has
bottom
been
of the box every yes. so often. Just.
Any Weematai eyes on this? Seen anything?
Anybody look odd in the crowd?
Yeah, you're still looking around the cloud crowd. There's so many people though. You're not really finding anything. You did not definitely see either one of the faces that you saw earlier. They were not here. So Sharon, Sarah runs up. What do you do?
Okay. I say, please step back. I'm a doctor, and I go and examine him.
Okay. He describes what happened. He's had every evidence of having either a heart attack or a stroke to you.
Okay.
Whisper, something like what our preacher would do to others has been done to him.
What him to death with his speaking? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay, so then... Okay, is he, like, heart attack or stroke? So I'm just going to render the standard basic first aid and ask for a couple of volunteers to get him. How far is the train station from
You're
the clinic?
You're right there. Oh, from the clinic?
Yeah.
Good ways, actually. So the train, the conductor is like, well, we got to get the train moving if he's all right. So are you going to pack him on board or are you going to take him to the doctor's?
And this is the train to go back to Los Angeles?
This is basically... No, I'm sorry.
He's going up the coast, right?
Yep.
No, he's going up the coast. No. I am not going to pack him on the train. I'm going to get him stabilized and then move him to the clinic.
All right.
A flight of angels tried to sing him to his wrist.
Take him to Reds.
All right, so you're going to pack him off to the clinic. Okay, good enough. You can get some people to help you carry the guy there without any issue. Yeah. He's doing better, but he's very weak. Like I said, he shows every sign of just having had a stroke or a heart attack. Left side weakness, still a little hard to breathe, but it looks like everything seems to be working okay now. So you drag him over to the doctor's to... get him further checked out. Meanwhile, back at the train station, Eddie, I mean, you're desperately scanning the crowd to see if anyone's really standing out. Of course, no one's wearing robes, so they're not being that obvious about anything. You're just not able to really pick out a particular person in the crowd.
I want to go to Red's.
Okay. All right, you head to Red's.
I assume I'm with Sharon and the patient and stuff.
You can be one of the people helping him. Yep.
Yeah. Have a quick look to see if there's a talisman of channeling power. Have a look on his body.
No, he's. I mean, his shirt's still wide open from the Good Samaritan that was trying to help, who, by the way, boarded the train after making sure that you were going to get him to doctors and everything.
If he's involved in it, then I didn't have any immediate reason to start shooting him. So,
right. All right.
If you got away, you got away.
No, I mean, he seemed to be willing to go with you in all if you if the guy was in desperate need, but enough other people offered to take him back that weren't getting on the train. So he's like, well, you know, if you're sure, got a train to catch. So. All right, it's about 10:30 now. Let's go ahead and end it here with you keeping Mr. Pascal alive and in town still. Eddie, you're heading to Red's, where you suspect at least some of those angels may still be hanging around.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Was Eddie obviously part of our group when we were at the train station?
Probably not, because there was such a crowd there and he didn't run forward.
All right. Great.
But the only one that ran forward that may have been suspicious, or maybe even not, was Luke. Because of the little box he got out that did all kinds of sparky things around him.
Yeah. I'm subtle, I am.
Everyone else pretty much just came into the big crowd at the back. So, you know, no, I would think that you're probably good there. At least you would think so. No obvious reason to link you guys and Pascal, other than maybe Luke because of the odd box.
Well, yeah, but then all of us have gone too. So, who knows?
Well, you ran to get a doctor. She obviously was one, as she, you know, she carries her bag with her.
Yeah, well, it depends how much they can detect and what they know. And well, we'll all find out again in next week's exciting episode.
Yay, say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Steam time, next Steam channel.
Yep.
Or same Steam channel. I don't know, one of those things.
It will be number 50.
Some Steam channel, yes. Yep.
All right. Sorry for the lack of action there.
That's what we went with.
Yep. Long overdue with a talk with Mr. Bell, and figured this was as good a time as any.
Yep.
Extremely competent, Mr. Bell.
Oh yes.
No, that was a good talk to have with Mr. Bell.
You're free to continue to believe what you want to believe.
Yep.
Glad to know that.
And yes, if I can work it in, Sarah may be meeting the ghost.
Wow. Okay. Ooh. Yeah.
Yes. Don't spoil it.
No, I'm not saying anything.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
A person called the ghost.
Okay. Yep.
XP. Do we get some XP out of that? One, two, one.
I'll give you one, just for meeting with Bell and at least knowing what they may be thinking of what's going on, the whole apocalypse thing.
Yeah.
Whether you choose to believe it or not, completely free to your characters to decide.
Well, obviously Yong has, because that's how we justified a lot of stuff. But that takes us to 110. No, 150, sorry. We're looking at the wrong sheet. So, we get a thing.
A thing?
I thought it was every 20.
It was every 5. Now it's every 10.
Oh.
You need to log back in to update your thing. Things for everybody.
Things. Oh, it's easy enough. I'll just remind me next time and I'll just put my magic up. Yeah, that's all my razors are going to be for next while. I'll just put it
in. You're doing your weird science.
Okay. Yeah, there's no point in me doing anything else. Like, for now, I need to get that up to decent level. So I can roll double once again. Woo!
Yeah, now you have to have a serious sit down with your cat.
That ought to be a good one.
Yeah, I was thinking about that even before it came up today. I was thinking, you bastard, Luke, you killed a cat in order to get your magic powers.
Luke doesn't know that.
No, I know. You bastard.
Okay, so at one, so that's the standard. One more edge, one more or one skill.
Edge, one skill or two skills that are below its target attribute.
Or
I gotta think about that. I think it's time to take another harrowed edge.
Harrowed edge.
Maybe. Yeah,
that would be perfectly within reason. All right, guys. Well, have a good one. And we'll see when we can play next. And we'll put it on the boards. And otherwise, have a good one. Richard, if you're interested in playing around with Conan, 7:30-ish tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. For the next game session, Bert, if you don't mind, if I hop on the server a little early to... just I want to check something in one of the
rooms. I should have done it this time too, and thanks for reminding me, Richard, that we should probably put it up early in general. So I'll do that.
Okay.
All right.
Good
night, guys.
For running.
Good night. Thanks,
Brett. Good night.
Catch you all.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamstealmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.